and let us pray. Gracious God and Father, who has created us and all creatures, given us our bodies and souls and all our members, and still preserves them, we thank you this day for all your benefits and blessings, not merely the temporal goods that we possess, our clothing, shoes, food and drink, house, home, wife, children, and all that we have, but also for your rich and continuous provision for all that we need to support this body and life. You are our dwelling place, and you defend us against all danger and protect us from all evil. This you do only out of your fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. So on this day we gather to thank and praise you in dutiful obedience to your call, and we beg you to bestow on us your Spirit, so that we may continue to serve you in this life, even as we await the fullness of your kingdom, which is yet to be brought near when Jesus comes again in glory to establish the new heavens and the new earth. Hear us, dear Father, as we pray and give thanks to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who even now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul in our epistle lesson is full of joy as he writes, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brothers." The apostle cannot help but give thanks. The faith of the Thessalonians delights him. Their love encourages him. Their perseverance amazes him. He boasts of them to other churches, and he has much reason to do so. God has accomplished great things for the church at Thessalonica, in spite of Paul's very short stay there. Likewise, he's provided great blessings and accomplished great things for us. We also ought to rejoice and give thanks, just as Paul does. So on the basis of the Word of God, permit me to speak to you in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday of the many reasons we have to give thanks. First, the many reasons we have to give thanks for the nearness of Christ's kingdom to us. And second, the many reasons we have to give thanks that God continues to preserve his people until Christ shall come to gather us to himself. Now, if you haven't figured it out, our meditation is based on these words of St. Paul, who sets the example for us. We are bound to give thanks to God always. Even as we confess in our catechism, for all of God's benefits, we are duty-bound to praise, thank, praise, serve, and obey him. After all, he's created us. He still upholds and sustains us, and we know, however, that in the day-to-day struggles of life in a sinful world, it's easy for us to get distracted. We don't pay attention to this duty. We forget all the Lord's benefits which he has bestowed upon us. And for this reason, it is good to set aside a special time of thanksgiving. And ultimately, we must consider it a good that even God that has temporarily caused the rulers of the world to set aside a specific day for this purpose. We might have problems with the abuses that people make of this day, the self-indulgence and the gluttony. Nevertheless, it is an objective good. It is good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to God. And therefore, it is right to take this opportunity to do so. After all, he bestows upon us great benefits, and chief among those benefits in our earthly life is the benefit that we derive from the nearness of Christ's kingdom to us. Our Lord Jesus highlights this benefit when he sends out the 72 disciples to bring the news of his coming to the people of his day. In spite of sending them out as lambs among wolves, in spite of sending them out, telling them to make no preparation for their journey, to take no provisions for themselves, but to simply be diligent and carry forth the message that he gives, they not only survive, but they return to the Lord rejoicing, surprised at all the blessings and benefits that the Lord granted to them and those they served on their journeys. Even though they would be abused and mistreated in some places, There were other places where the Lord provided a place to eat and drink to carry out the labor of the Lord. Their work was to go ahead of Christ and proclaim the nearness of the kingdom of God. Jesus sent them to the towns and villages where he himself was about to go, so that those in those towns and villages would be ready to greet him when he arrived. The king was coming near. He was bringing with him his kingdom, which would be established on earth through his own death and resurrection. Until that point, the whole world was enemy territory, held captive by the devil, subject to God's wrath through the rebellion and disobedience of men against God. But Christ came to bring freedom. Freedom to the captives, liberty to those held in bondage, those held captive to sin and rebellion against God. And he was coming to establish his kingdom in the hearts of men. This was the purpose of bringing his kingdom near, so that men could experience it, they could enter into it through faith, trusting in the king who would grant forgiveness of their sin and make them worthy to enter the kingdom of God. So right off the bat, we see we have every reason to give thanks to God, for he has brought his kingdom to earth. He has established it on the sure foundation of his word and promises, setting forth the cornerstone of Christ Jesus himself, so that the church would be built to endure in this world, and that eventually even we would be brought into it. Likewise, we have every reason to give thanks and praise that our Lord chose those first men, the apostles. He taught them the faith. He revealed to them the true nature of the world and our place in it, so that then they could go forth and proclaim the truth of God's love for us. Now, if Christ had simply come into the world and died to take away the sins of the world, but nobody was told, nobody witnessed it, nobody heard about it, we would receive no benefit. So the Lord raised up those men and sent them to the ends of the earth to proclaim this good news, that though we were born in sin and trespasses, though we of ourselves have no reason to hope that God would be favorable to us, nevertheless, God indeed does love us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, taking our place under God's wrath, winning for us a righteousness that we could not gain for ourselves. As the messengers of peace that Jesus sent went into the towns and villages, they would find not only individual homes, but whole cities that would gladly receive God's grace, favor, and mercy. They would receive the benefits. In those places, those whose bodies had been infected with sickness because of the corruption of sin in the world were healed by the apostles. And more than that, they would hear the blessed message: the kingdom of God has come near to you. And they would be able to rejoice that God's kingdom came near for blessing and help, not for condemnation. We also hear from the very beginning this message and hope of God, which he provides in Christ Jesus, was opposed. Jesus warns those whom he sent out in our gospel text that there would be some houses that they would enter and would not receive peace. If a son of peace is there, says Jesus, your peace will rest on the home. If not, it will return to you. There will also be not only homes, but whole cities, says our Lord, who would not receive the peace which Christ bestows. They would actively resist the coming of God's kingdom. They would reject the messengers whom God had sent. Notice, in such cases, our Lord commands that they were not to compromise. They were not even to stay once rejection was clear and definite. Instead, they were to shake the dust from their feet and sternly warn the place that they left, the kingdom of God has come near to you, but you rejected it. You cast it out. A few verses after our gospel text, Jesus makes clear those who reject his messengers who bring the message of peace condemn themselves. They separate themselves from the kingdom. Jesus says plainly to those whom he sent, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." God the Father sent the Son. God the Son sends his laborers to proclaim peace to the kingdom. And those who reject the messenger who brings the kingdom through the proclamation of the message rejects the king and the kingdom. The same pattern, the same message is carried out in the ministry of the apostles after Christ's resurrection. One of the reasons that we have two letters from St. Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica is because Paul's visit to that city was very short. According to scriptures, it appears he was only there for 3 Sabbaths. When Paul first arrived, he did what he normally does when he goes to any town. He first entered the synagogue and began demonstrating how it is that the kingdom of God had come to men through the death and resurrection of Jesus, just as the prophets of the Old Testament foretold. Scripture tells us some of them were persuaded, a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But there were a great many of the city who did not receive Paul or the message he brought. They went and stirred up a mob in the marketplace who attacked the home of the man who gave Paul and Silas lodging in order to incite a riot to cause the rulers of the city to intervene. The situation was so bad that the small church that Paul started sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. In that city, they were gladly accepted. Paul did not stay where he was unwelcome. And those who did welcome him, and Jesus who sent him, received the peace and comfort of the gospel. Through suffering, trial, persecution, and tribulation, they endured. They continued to believe. They held fast by the power of God working through his Spirit. And Paul says about this, "It is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, so that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer." The kingdom of God had come near to Thessalonica and the church that gathered there, and the peace of Christ remained upon them, even though they were persecuted and submitted to tribulation. Indeed, as Paul declared to them, they had much to be thankful for, not only for the gospel which was preached, but also for the faith that preserved them. We see example after example of reasons to give thanks to God as the apostles themselves were kept and preserved in their task until God's kingdom in Christ was finally firmly established, rooted in the world. The legacy of those men and their work continues to today. Because of their work and their dedication, we are able to hear nearly 2,000 years later that the kingdom has come to us. The apostles wrote and oversaw the writing of the New Testament. Paul's writings and letters have been collected and used in the church since they were written. And through these, the Spirit of God continues to bring Christ and with him his kingdom into the world, so that even in far-flung places, and even in our own small city of Standish, we would hear and know, we would have faith and trust, the kingdom has come near to us. Christ loves us. He shed his blood for us. And we are heirs and citizens of that kingdom which will have no end. We are partakers of all the blessings which Christ died to secure on our behalf. So yes, on Thanksgiving Day, we have much to be thankful for regarding the nearness of Christ's kingdom to us. Not only that he brought this kingdom to earth so long ago, but he has brought the kingdom to us here and now. He has not only established his church in ages past, not only has sent and preserved the apostles in their tasks in days gone by, not only has he caused them to write the New Testament and provide those writings to us, but he has established us here. Through the work of his Spirit, whom he poured out upon all flesh on the day of Pentecost, he has caused faith to take root in our heart, so that we know and believe that Christ has brought his kingdom and made us heirs of grace, indeed something to be thankful for. This points us to our second point for consideration. We don't only have every reason to give thanks for the nearness of God's kingdom, we give thanks that he continues to preserve his people. We see how Christ has brought his kingdom near to us, poured out the Spirit, sent the apostles, gave the scriptures. But the blessings for which we are bound to thank God do not end there. God continues to preserve us, both spiritually and in our daily needs. Christ not only brought his kingdom to us and gathered us into it, but he continues to work to preserve us spiritually in that kingdom. He did it through the apostles when he sent them into the world to preach the gospel. Likewise, our Lord continues to send preachers to his church so that we all may be kept in the faith, preserved in his kingdom. Through these men, he announces the coming of his kingdom to cities and towns and communities and reminds us all of Christ's death and resurrection bringing that kingdom to us. Likewise, through this office of the ministry, he provides spiritual food for our journey, keeping us believing. He causes his word to be proclaimed into our ears so that our hearts may continue to lay hold of the hope and promise of Christ's kingdom, and we may remain firmly connected to him. The kingdom of Christ comes near to us through those whom he sends to preach. This, too, is a great blessing, that we can come and hear God's word preached and proclaimed frequently into our ears. If you want to hear the living voice of Jesus today, seek out a faithful preacher who is authorized and ordained to speak on his behalf. After all, Jesus says, "He who hears you, hears me." And if ever you are tempted to refuse to hear, to reject the one whom Christ has sent, search your heart carefully and warn yourself with Christ's own words, "He who rejects you, rejects me, and he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." In this way, Christ curbs our sinful flesh with two promises. He stirs up our heart to attend to God's word, to the preaching of our pastor, to the reception of Christ's gift in word and sacrament, by the promise that we hear that those who are sent by him proclaim him. And he rebukes our sinful flesh and warns us sternly by the opposite promise, that when we reject those whom Christ sends, we are rejecting the kingdom which Christ died for us to win. This is one of the many ways that Jesus continues to preserve us from thanklessly rejecting his kingdom so that he would keep us believing. Even this warning is a reason to give thanks. We also give thanks that he keeps and preserves his pastors and congregations in the world. Many times, pastors and their congregations will face adversity, just as Paul and the church of Thessalonica did, because the message of the gospel, the word of God, is not pleasant to those who refuse to be converted by it. Nonetheless, our Lord Jesus has a proven track record of keeping and preserving his church through all adversity. It's the primary reason that Paul gives thanks for the Thessalonians. He boasts of them because God has caused them to persevere in the midst of tribulation and persecution. God was continuing to work to lead them to endure so that they would be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which had come near to them, even though they suffered for it. Paul goes on to tell them that their patience and perseverance does not go unnoticed. God will repay with trouble and tribulation those who come against the church. He will take vengeance on those who persecute his people and will give rest to those who are troubled by the world when finally Christ Jesus is revealed from heaven, when he brings us even nearer to himself, fully revealing his kingdom on earth. For now, we too must wait in patience for that day, but he is faithful. We give thanks that he continues to preserve us in the midst of adversity, trial, and trouble. One of the main ways this trouble and tribulation comes upon us is the threat of existence, the well-being of a congregation. Think about how often those who opposed the gospel tried to murder Paul because he proclaimed the gospel, tried to shut down the church. It wasn't just Paul in Thessalonica. It was also Justus, the layman at whose house Paul stayed. Paul made clear in his letter, the whole congregation in Thessalonica suffered for the sake of the faith. Throughout history, the health and well-being of the church has been threatened, not just individual members, but property set aside for the work of his kingdom has many times been destroyed or even confiscated. In other instances, faith in the hearts of members grows cold. They do not support the work of the ministry. They prioritize other things in life. The work of the church suffers. So we have every reason to continue to give thanks to Christ, because he has continued to supply our needs through the faithful gifts and support for the work of the ministry in this place. Many who have gone before have sacrificed greatly to make it possible for us to worship here now, to have heat to warm us, to have lights, to have the four walls surrounding us in the midst of the wind, the property on which the church stands. What's more, there are many times in the past when it appeared that the work of the kingdom would falter and fail. There would perhaps be no way to keep the lights on to maintain the work of the gospel. But God persevered. He supplied faithful stewards of his bounty to help and keep and support the church. And he continues to do so today. Yes, there is always need. There is always more that can be done. So far, God has moved his people to respond when necessary. When we are truly unable to do so, he will continue to supply our needs, sometimes in miraculous ways. But when we are able to do so, he supplies the needs of the church through us. But either way, we can give thanks that God is at work supplying our needs out of his mercy and grace toward us in Christ Jesus. We can expect that he will continue to do so as we welcome and receive the nearness of the kingdom to us. So indeed, we truly are bound to give thanks and praise to God always in every way, not only for our daily blessings and the well-beings of our bodies, which so many will take note of this Thanksgiving, but chiefly we ought to give thanks and praise that Christ has brought his kingdom to us. He still preserves his people, and he counts us among them in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.